service. So we invite our first through sixth graders to join us, and we worship together as a family. The last several weeks, we have been talking about Joseph and his family. We've spent quite a bit of time on talking about Joseph. And at the end of their lives, the Bible tells us that they had moved to Egypt. And so this morning, in these next several weeks, we're going to be studying the life of Moses. But it's really important for us to remember and to realize that a lot of time has passed between Joseph's story and the story of Moses. The Bible says that the Israelites, who were the people of God, were set aside to be his people, and they were growing in number in Egypt. So again, this is years and years after Joseph's family had died, and now we're focusing in on where God's people were at this point. So they're growing in number in Egypt, so much so that the king of Egypt, who is called Pharaoh, was threatened by them. And so he decided to treat them horribly. And he made them his slaves, and he made sure that they suffered, and he would torture them. And the more that they would grow in number, the more that he would make sure that they were tortured and oppressed. So it was not a good time for the people of God. They were suffering a lot, and someone was making sure that they would continue to suffer. And when I think about suffering, I think about the feeling that there's like no escape. There's no way out of it. You're completely trapped in this situation that you don't want to be going through, and you're suffering a lot. I want to demonstrate this feeling in kind of a silly way today. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when I talk with my hands. You guys notice that? Mm-hmm. So this idea of being trapped, of no escape, I'm going to invite my friend Jeremy to come up today. Jeremy is a police officer. And so to help demonstrate this idea of being trapped and there not being an escape, I'm going to ask that Jeremy handcuff my hands behind my back, and I'm going to preach this next little bit of the sermon without using my hands, okay? We're going to try it. You might need to be praying for me as we do this, okay? So I'm going to move this back here. All right, here we go. I'm ready, officer. Palms together like I'm praying. I'd also like to point out that this was Pastor Gary's idea, so I don't know what that says, but. Okay, thank you. I cannot move my hands right now. I could not move them even if I wanted, if I tried to. I couldn't break free, all right? So let this be a demonstration that this is a little bit of what the people of God were going through. Their hands were tied. They were being tortured, they were oppressed, and they couldn't get out of that situation. Wow, this is really hard. Okay. I'm just going to fold my hands and try not to move them. So, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh continues to treat the Israelites horribly, but they continued to grow in number. And so, he made up this very evil law, and that law was that any baby boys that were born to the Israelite families were killed. But during this time, there was a woman, an Israelite woman, who had a baby. And she did this very brave, very courageous, and very strange thing. And to save her baby, she put him in a basket. I'm going to need some help for this. hey, Christian, can you come up here for a second? Or Sebastian? Or both of you? Can you just hold up that basket and make sure everyone can see it? Because I can't because my hands are handcuffed behind my back. All right. A basket. Thank you, sir. All right, you can go ahead and put the basket back. All right, so we're told that this woman puts her baby in a basket, and then she puts that basket in the Nile River, and she lets that basket go down the river. And the sister, the baby's older sister, watches from a distance. Now, it's very possible that we've all heard this story before, maybe even more than once. So I want you to just imagine for a second what it would have been like for Moses' mom and for Moses' sister to watch that basket float away down the river. They had to be so afraid, but at the same time, they were hopeful that this would make some kind of difference, and it did, because here's the crazy part of the story. What is crazy is that Pharaoh's daughter, so this evil king who had made this law, his daughter found the basket with the baby inside. And when she opened the basket, there was Moses, and he was crying. And she found it, and then Moses' sister came by and said, hey, why don't I help you find somebody to take care of this baby just while it's a baby, and I'll help you find somebody to take care of it while it's still a baby. And so Moses' sister took Moses back to his mom, and his mom got to take care of him while he was just a baby. And then Moses was sent back to Pharaoh's home and grew up there. And this could seem like a crazy coincidence, but it's not, and here is why. This is what the Bible says was going on. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And so he looked at the Israelites, and he was concerned about them. He knew that they were suffering. He knew that they were crying out for him. He knew how difficult of a time they were going through, and he was concerned. And Moses, who was sent in this basket, and then this crazy situation happened where the Pharaoh's daughter found the basket, and then Moses was raised there, was all part of God's plan to bring deliverance to his people and to bring freedom to his people and to bring freedom to me because my hands are still cuffed behind my back. So, Jeremy, could you come up? And you brought the key, right? Yes, please. This is going to distract me from preaching the rest of the sermon, so please come set me free. Thank you. I'm crying out. The Lord has heard my cries. Ha ha. Oh, freedom. Sweet freedom. Thank you. Okay, that's over. Thank you for bearing with me during that. So our story is going to continue on. And Moses, yep, here I go. I'm free. Our story is going to continue. But first, because this next part of the story is just so crazy and so cool, I want to invite all of the kids to come up and to have a seat right here because I just want to tell you how awesome this story is. Of course, the teens are the first ones to stand up. That's fine as long as you don't distract. Come on up, kiddos. Hello, friends. Come on up. Man, we got a lot of kids here today. That's exciting. Come on up, friends. Have a seat. I want to tell you the next part of this story because it's a little crazy. And even if you've heard it before, and this is also to my grown-up friends, even if we've heard this before, can we just go back to when we were kids and can we let our imaginations run a little bit with this story because it's just so much fun to tell. And I want us to just really, really imagine it. Okay, friends? So, again, now they're all making fun of me for how much I use my hands. A lot of years had passed. Okay, friends? So Moses was now a grown-up, and he actually ran away from Pharaoh's home because of how much he hated seeing his people suffer. And the Bible even tells us that Moses killed an Egyptian man because of how terribly he was treating one of the Israelite slaves. And Moses knew that that was the wrong thing to do, and he felt really guilty about it, and so he just wanted to run away. And to be honest, I don't think that he ever planned to go back there. I think he wanted to be away and to stay away forever. But one day, God did something crazy to really get Moses' attention. Have any of you ever been to a bonfire? You've been to a bonfire? Okay, cool. So imagine this. Just, if you got to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. But I just want you to imagine it. I want you to see it in your head. Moses was out, and he was a shepherd. He was taking care of his sheep. And all of a sudden, he saw this bush. And the bush was on fire. And there were flames coming from the bush. But nothing was happening to the bush. It wasn't like burning up. And friends, that's not normal. That's not what happens, right? And so Moses was really curious about it. And so he went over to look at it. And when he did that, he heard the voice of God talk to him through that bush. Crazy, right? So listen, here's how the conversation between God and Moses went. God said, Moses, Moses. He said his name two times because he really wanted to get Moses' attention. Do your parents ever use your name twice to get your attention? You know, first they'll say it normal, like Noah. And then if you don't answer, Noah, right? Moses, Moses. God says, Moses, Moses. And then Moses' response is to say, here I am. And God told Moses to take off his sandals because he was standing in the very presence of God. And so that might sound kind of silly to us, but what that means is that God wanted to tell Moses that this was a really serious moment. This was a really sacred moment. And he wanted to acknowledge that God was there in that place. And he wanted Moses to take him seriously. So he said, take off your sandals because you're on holy ground. And God told Moses that he had heard the cries of his people. You guys don't need to take your shoes off. Come on. You guys know how to handle this, all right? God told Moses that he heard the cries of his people. He heard that his people were suffering. He heard the cries of his people, and he was going to do something about it. And the thing he was going to do is that he was going to use Moses, and he was going to send Moses back to Pharaoh, back to the people, and he was going to use Moses to bring the people into the promised land that God was going to give them. But Moses did not want to listen to God. And so he started to argue with God. Now think about a time when maybe you argued with a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad, or for any of you, your children or your spouse. Okay, think of an argument like that. But now Moses isn't just arguing with like another human. He's arguing with God. And we do that sometimes too. But Moses had all of these excuses of why he wasn't going to do this. He said, I'm not a good enough speaker. I can't do that. I'm afraid that no one will listen to me. I don't even think that I'm important enough for anybody to listen to me. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And God said, I will be with you every step of the way. And he even showed Moses all of these really cool signs to demonstrate God's power and that he was going to be the one that would be with Moses and would help him with anything that he needed. And even after that, Moses argued with God a little bit more. And then God said, okay, you can even take your brother Aaron with you. But I want you to go. I want you to go back. And I'm going to use you to deliver the people from their suffering and from their slavery. And so after all of that, finally, Moses decided to obey. And so in the next several weeks, we're going to find out what happens when Moses goes back to help deliver the people. All right? So you guys can go back to your seats. Good job. Another cliffhanger. Stay tuned. Come back next week. We're starting a series called What's It Gonna Take? And each week we'll be asking a different question that begins with these words, what's it gonna take? And this week I want to ask the question, what is it gonna take for you to listen to God? I remember a very specific time when I knew that God was speaking to me. And I didn't want to listen to him. I was actually at the movie theater with my friend Ashley, and we were seeing the movie Tangled, the Disney movie Tangled. And we were watching it, and I noticed that in front of me, there was a woman sitting with a few of her kids. I had never seen this woman before. I did not know who she was. I'd never spoken with her before. But during the entire length of the movie, I knew that God was telling me that I needed to be praying for that woman and for her family, and that I needed to tell her that I was praying for her and for her family, and that God loved her. And I sat through that whole movie, and I argued. I said, you don't really want me to do that, right, God? That is awkward. I don't even know this lady. She's just here trying to see a Disney movie with her family. And what if I would offend her? I wouldn't want to do that. And what if I would make her feel uncomfortable? I wouldn't want to do that. And what if I would make my friend who's with me feel uncomfortable? I wouldn't want to do that. But the whole time I was watching that movie, I knew that God was telling me, you need to be praying for her and for her family, and you need to tell her that you're praying for her and that I love her. And so I kept trying to argue. But then at the end of the movie, I went up to her and I said, okay, I would like to just tell you that I have been praying for you, and I want you to know that God loves you and is taking care of your family. And she smiled, and I walked on, and I didn't think about it again. And I've never seen that woman again. I don't know why she needed to hear those words or why God led me to do that, but I'm confident that he did. I do, however, remember a time later on in life when I heard my friend Ashley reference that story and talk about how much it meant to her to see me say this to this family. And so somehow, in some way, my argument with God and him being gracious enough to give me the strength to obey him made some kind of impact. And so it's really easy for us to argue with God. And it's really easy for us to just not listen to him. When we know that he's asking us to do something, it's easy to pretend like we don't even hear him. It's easy to ignore him when he's asking us to spend time with him each and every day through reading the word and prayer. Sometimes that's a really easy voice to ignore. Sometimes it's really, really easy to ignore him when he's asking us to stop gossiping about somebody and to love them and to forgive them. And we argue, or we ignore him and we don't want to listen to it. But I'd like to point out how this story begins. It begins with the people of God crying out and God listening to them and hearing them. God initiated the listening in this story. The God of the universe, the one who created each and every one of those Israelite people who had put up with their disobedience and their rejection of him for 400 years, the Bible tells us, before this story happened. And that's how long they had been suffering before they cried out to God. And the Israelites cried out, and God listened. And so what is it going to take for us to finally listen to God? I certainly hope that we don't only begin to listen to God when we are suffering. It's an easy time to begin to listen for him. But I hope that's not the only time that we ever are listening to God, is when we need something from him. I hope that we don't only want to listen to him when we're at the end of our ropes or when there's no way to escape. But even if that's what it takes for us to listen to him, he's always listening to us. And sometimes God will use a burning bush to get our attention, something big, something dramatic, something crazy that's not normal. But I also hope that we're giving him opportunities to speak to us every single day through his word and through prayer and through spending time giving him a chance to speak to us, to give him a chance to help us to listen. He'll use burning bushes sometimes, but he'll also speak very quietly through a Bible verse that we'll read or through a thought that we'll have during prayer. Moses was 80 years old when God spoke to him through this burning bush. It's never too late to begin to listen to the voice of God. And kids, it's never too early to begin to recognize the voice of God. It's not too late, and it's never too early to begin to learn what it means to listen to the voice of God. We know in Scripture he spoke to children too, and that's important for us to remember. And so what I would like to do to finish this service is to give us a chance to listen. And so for the next 5 minutes, I have 5 different prompts. And we're going to go back and we're going to look at what the Lord said in this passage of Scripture and what he might want to say through us, to us, through this Scripture. And so I'm going to explain each prompt, and then I'm going to give us a minute of quiet. And in that minute, I just invite you to listen. We don't normally like silence. And so if you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable, that's okay. God gets it. But I truly believe that the Lord has something to say to each of us today. And so I would like to help lead us and initiate this time for us to just listen to him. And so we're going to begin with what God said first to Moses. He said his name. He said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." So God initiates the conversation with Moses' name, reminding him that it's a personal relationship, that he knew everything there was to know about Moses. And so now I want us to take a moment to hear the Lord saying your name, reminding you that he created you, that he loves you, and that he wants to have a personal relationship with you. And if you want to answer in a way of saying, "Here I am," you can have your hands open, or you can be saying that through prayer. But let's take a moment now and let's hear the Lord saying each of our names, reminding us of what it means to have a personal relationship with him. The next thing that God said was, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And sometimes we forget, it's really easy to forget the holiness of God. And it's easy for us to remember that we're called to fear him, to respect him, to have awe and reverence of him when we come to him. And so now we're going to hear him say, this is holy ground, this is holy space, which just means that it's set apart, it's something special because God is here and he wants us to take that seriously. So take a moment now to recognize the holiness of God. God said, I have seen the misery of my people. I have heard them cry out, and I am concerned for their suffering. So take time now to hear God tell you that he sees and he hears your cries, and he's concerned about every part of your life. And I realize I skipped a slide, so we'll come back to this one. Go forward one more. Yeah, he has seen our misery. So take time now to recognize and hear God tell you that he sees you, he hears your cries, and he's concerned about your suffering. Before God said that he has seen their misery, he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And so he reminded Moses who he was and what he had done and his faithfulness throughout the generations before him. And that is the same faithfulness he wants to remind us of today. And so hear the Lord reminding you of who he is and of what he has done in your life throughout past generations. Take a moment now to hear his voice. then finally, God said, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. And this is not meant to confuse us. It's really just meant to point to the fact that God is whatever we need him to be. He is, and we can fill in the blank. He is our peace. He is our comfort. He is our provider. He is our guide. He is all that we will ever, ever need in this life. And so now take time to hear the Lord tell you that he is whatever you need him to be. Congratulations. We just sat in 5 minutes of silence. I hope that wasn't a difficult thing for us. If it was, thank you for participating. I encourage and invite all of us to spend 5 minutes of silence every day this week and to just give time and space for the Lord to speak to us and give ourselves space to listen to him. And so that is my challenge to you this week is every day find 5 minutes where you're not distracted by anything else and you can just give him silence. And don't say you can't do it because you just did. Even our kids and our adults, we made it through 5 minutes of silence. And I hope that the Lord was speaking to you through that time. Let's end in prayer this morning. God, thank you for this day. And wow, thank you for the fact that in the last 5 minutes, I'm so confident that you are speaking to each and every one of us. That's so cool that you speak to us and that you care about us and that you want us to know all of these things about you and about us and about how you interact with us. And I'm just so thankful for time set aside to just listen to you and that when we give you that time, you speak to us. And so I thank you for the story of Moses and for all this, all the stuff we covered today in his life and just for the constant faithfulness that this story shows us about you, that you're faithful to your people, that you initiate listening, that you listen to us, everything that we say, everything that we need before we even speak it or think it, Lord, you know it. And I'm so thankful for that today, Lord. And I pray now that you will continue to speak and that we will continue to listen. I pray, Lord, that this week we will find 5 minutes of each and every day to take and just to be quiet with you, Lord, and that you'll speak to us and that you'll continue to just show us who you are and who we are. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.